Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Emma Gunn Show. I'm so excited. It's time for another Ask Me Anything, and I thought I could just answer your questions into the microphone and have a jolly old time doing this by myself. But why do that when I'm having a fun day with my brother? We're having a brother and sister bonding day. So Gavin, say hello, Gavin.
Hello, Gavin. There you go. See, you knew I was going to do that.
Yeah. That's such a 1980s late night, like two Ronnie's joke. But anyway, that's fine. My brother and I are having a fun day. And I said, would you help me do this episode of the podcast? So he is going to ask the questions and hopefully ask any supplementary questions within those questions that anyone may have had.
It's just like being on Question Time.
Yes, yes. Oh, you watch it far... Well, you watch it, I don't.
No, it's nothing like being on Question Time.
Okay, great.
So that's a good start.
So we've cleared
going
that up.
Well.
So Gavin, just to put you into context, you have been spoken about previously on this podcast.
Have I? Once or twice?
Well, because you did the artwork.
I did the artwork, that's right.
Yeah, and the original incarnation of the artwork included the since-removed phrase, Gavin Gunn Award and the Productions presents...
Oh, that's it,
yeah. ...the Gunn Show. And
that one got rejected. That one didn't get accepted. I think it had something.
It was Gunn Award and twice. It was just a bit wordy. It was a bit long. The other co-presenter is going to be a bit miffed about this, I think, that you've got a much bigger role than he's had.
Well, I think he'll get over it.
Yeah, he will. So, Ask Me Anything. This is something that's come up in the Facebook group. If you're not a member of the Facebook group, it's so easy to join. The link is in the show notes, which you will find on Apple Podcasts, emmaguns.com and Acast, and wherever it is that you might be streaming or downloading this podcast. Click that link, ask to join. I'll approve you, and then all the fun is happening. There's a huge group of us having good old chats and debates in there, so please do join. So, with that in mind, Gavin, do you want to start off?
Right, okay, the first question is from Livia, and she says, I have two because I'm ever so inquisitive.
That's good, isn't it? We like inquisitive.
There we go, two questions. What do you feel is the biggest misconception about what you do, and or what do you wish people would talk more about? And then she says, and I think the last time around I had suggested any of the Tim Ferriss Tribe of Mentors questions. So you might have three questions there.
Yes. No. Well, we've got... Yes. Let's break down the first two and then we'll go into Tribe of Mentors. So what do you feel is the biggest misconception about what you do? I wasn't sure about what that meant. Gavin, do you have an interpretation? As a podcaster, as a beauty journalist, as a...
I think there's an element of both there. But possibly about podcasting, because it's a sort of fairly new thing, or it's one of the newer forms of media. So I think people are interested in what does it actually involve. For example, Joe Rogan's always saying to everyone, go and start a podcast. Mm-hmm. And people are thinking, yeah, okay, but what does that mean? Well, how do I do it?
So, well, Joe Rogan is someone you put me onto. And then I also listened to Kevin Smith, the writer and director. And he also says, everyone, start a podcast. If you would listen to it, make it. The podcasting thing's really interesting, though, and I don't think I've told you this yet, because in our fun day it just hasn't come up so far, but I've been interviewing people or chatting to people on the show now for 2.5 years, and now there are brands that are like, oh, this is really interesting, in the way that they did with YouTube, and they're like, oh, we quite like this, but then every time I speak to somebody not every time, actually, that's unfair, but quite a few times recently, people have said, oh, I'm really scared about this. Oh, what do I do? And I'm sort of pitching it at the moment between, it's somewhere between a YouTube video and just being recorded on tape. Mm. And where, as for years as a journalist, I take a dictaphone into my meetings and I capture the audio and then I lift quotes. But this is actually publishing the whole conversation. Mm. So it is interesting, to your point, that it is new. And so there is a little bit of, oh, what's it really about? Like, what do you actually do, and how does this work?
Yeah. So, what would you say in response to Olivia's question? Do you think people have conceptions about what it is you do? And because I say, is it literally just two people sit down with a tape recorder and have a conversation? I guess maybe they're asking. Perhaps if he's asking, do you sit down with an agenda? Like, you maybe come up with a list of 10 things you're going to talk about and...
Oh, so, yeah, basically, I write down, and they're always very colourful. In fact, I might have one in my bag that you can look at, which obviously on an audio medium is not fair, but for the purposes of Gavin's entertainment, that's what...
The clipboard, okay.
The clipboard, and then I section off, so the person's name goes in the middle... Mm-hmm. And then I write in different colours, like, the various avenues I would like to go down. And then I always chat to the guests beforehand and say, it's not an interview per se. It's a conversation. These are the areas that strike me as being something that would be of interest. Are you happy with that? And then we just go from there.
Hmm.
So, yes. Do we sit down and have a conversation? Yes. Is it scripted? No. Is there an agenda? Kind of. But only to really have a really good, positive conversation that the listeners will enjoy. I always say I want to create inspiring content that's information rich, but also entertaining. And I like to call that infotainment.
Is it going to be an entertainment 720? Yes. Oh dear. Parks and Recreation reference for anyone who's into that. Yeah. Apologies, Livia, if I've misinterpreted your question there, but that's... one thing I would have wanted to ask.
Okay, cool.
And the second question, what do you wish people would talk more about?
I think it's something that people are talking a lot about right now, which is mental health, it's a double-edged sword. We were just talking about this before we started recording. There are many things in life that are a double-edged sword, and while it's great that there are some brilliant conversations about mental health happening, there's always an unhelpful narrative somewhere. But in the main, I like the fact that it's okay to say you're not okay these days. And I mean, my experiences, my severe experience with anxiety and depression are in the recent past. And even then, when I was having anxiety attacks in that hallway, I didn't understand what they were. Whereas I think if I was experiencing my first one now, I would have a lot more resources at my fingertips. I'd literally be able to Google, am I having an anxiety attack? And I'd be able to find a resource that I related to, which is, you know, it wouldn't just be a WikiHow on this is what an anxiety attack feels like. You know, I've had conversations with Sam Chapman on here and Chloe Brotheridge and Jules von Hepp, loads of people about what anxiety and depression feels like. And It feels that more and more of that's happening, and I think it's really good to be able to say there's nothing wrong with you. You might actually be anxious, or you might actually be depressed, and there are lots of different ways that you can handle that. You can go and see your GP, and you can look at getting a prescription, or you can look at other non-tablet related solutions. So I'm really pleased that people are talking about that, and something that we've also been talking about today, which is fasting. I think the idea of, and you can help me unpick this because this is new information today, the fact that fasting seems to have nothing but good benefits for the body, yeah. Like massive implications, positive implications on health generally. And yet the predominant message, did I say that right?
Yeah.
Is to consume, to pleasure all, no. Yeah.
Food is a source of pleasure, as in, look at this, you will have fun if you eat this. I'm not going to mention any brand names, obviously, but, you know, this product or whatever. And
well, it's just because I was listening to Joe Rogan the other day and he was calling it mouth pleasure. And obviously there's like a double entendre there.
Yeah, which I'm sure he was well aware of.
Of course he was, because he's a filthy boy. but I just called Joe Rogan a filthy boy. He's going to put me in a headlock. hopefully. No, that's a joke. So... things like that, I think, well, there's lots of... when there's a massive message to consume, but actually something that we could all do that would make us healthier is to stop consuming within reason. That, I think, is quite interesting, and I'd like to learn more about that.
Well, I mean, on those two things, the first thing I think, as you mentioned, about the fact that people are talking about mental health more now, and it's more... it's not something that's such a taboo subject.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the valuable things that seems to be coming through, and this is something we also talked about, I think it's actually going back to, this is basically an advert for the Joe Rogan Experience at the moment, but where someone, yes. he like many of us, used to say, why are you depressed? Just you know, pull yourself together, go for a run, do something,
hit
you
the
know,
gym.
Go and watch a comedy, you know, as if, I don't know, spending 2 hours watching a comedy isn't going to do anything, and now you understand that it's not a case of, it's a case when people are suffering with this that is a it's a legitimate disease, and mm-hmm. it's actually will stop you from getting out of bed, and
mm-hmm.
you know, what's it? It's the biggest killer of men in sort of between 30s and 50s, is it in this country?
Something like that.
Suicide, mm-hmm. but obviously it stems from depression.
Yeah, when I had Fauna on recently, the statistics is like it's a massive problem, and it's an avoidable in the case of the suicide issue.
Mm.
It's an avoidable.
Now people can talk about it and recognise. I hope you recognise it. And then if you're not suffering it, chances are someone you know is probably dealing with some level
of
it, whether it's anxiety or depression. So that's good. And what was the other one thing? Fasting. Yeah.
Just because we've talked about that a lot today, I just think, actually, why doesn't everyone know about this?
Well, I know a lot of people doing 16-8. So 16-hour fast, 8-hour eating window, that sort of thing.
That was the 26 habits I did.
Yeah, that's quite a popular one for intermittent fasting. But I think the other thing is you talked about consume. There's a thing that if something's wrong, there's a pill for it,
mm-hmm.
or you know, let's fix it with this. And so the idea of actually taking something away
mm-hmm.
doesn't really play into sort of, we live in a very consumer culture.
Yeah.
So I think that's an interesting thing to actually say. You can actually do yourself some favours by doing less of something.
Maybe I need to, because it's always more, 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 bigger, 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 faster, faster, faster. Maybe, I wonder who would be a good expert? Like, who's the right person to speak to about that? Like, is there an expert in fasting and anti-consumerism?
The two people I've heard of talk a lot about this. Well, one's Dr. Rhonda Patrick, and the other one's Dr. Jason Fung. So
I'd
those
love
are the two
to get...
names that...
Right, they're going on my list. Right, oh, and the Tribe of Mentors questions.
Yes, so have Tribe of Mentors here. Can we just pick a random number?
Well, think of something that I would be able to talk about and not sound like a fool.
Wow.
Gavin closes the book.
Big ask there. Okay, here's an interesting one, which might tie into a bit of misconceptions.
Mm-hmm.
What are bad recommendations you hear in your profession or area of expertise?
Ugh. God, I used to be responsible for many of them. So, in terms of beauty, the beauty industry as I knew it as an editor, I used to go from this launch to that launch to this launch to that launch, picking up along the way various brand messages. We found this new ingredient in tree bark in a very remote island, and we had to go there by submarine, and it'll make you really young.
And Boswellox, that's one, wasn't it?
I can't even remember.
Mm.
That'll, and so I would buy into all of these, essentially marketing.
Yeah.
And how many times did I used to say to you, Gavin, you should be using this, or here, use this eye cream. And he always, I mean, you've got loads of them in your house, you've just never used any of them, which is probably quite fair.
Yeah.
But I think... Bad recommendations. Yes. So it's now that I'm friends with people like Caroline Hirons and Nadine Baggett, who operate on a far more scientific, like Nadine's very scientific. She speaks to formulating chemists. She understands the impact of an ingredient on the skin and how it works on a cellular level. I never knew any of that stuff, and I'm only just learning now. So in terms of bad recommendations, it's, you can avoid bad recommendations in beauty if you just find a trusted source. Caroline is qualified, puts her hands on people, knows, has fixed people's skin, meaning she's worked on people with acne or she's worked on people with various skin issues, and she's able to apply the right products to help that. So it's there are lots of bad recommendations out there. There's no point me listing all of them because we'd be here for hours, but it's just a case of, in terms of beauty, you have to find trusted sources. Mm. Don't buy the marketing hype. Don't consume, because when it comes to my alopecia, when I was a teenager, I didn't want to have to use a specialist shampoo. I wanted to be able to use, I don't know, whatever it was that everyone else at school was using, because I didn't want to be different. I didn't want to be excluded from the marketing hype and the beautiful advert with the woman with like the gorgeous silky hair. So, but actually, it's much better to know what ingredients are doing and the impact that they're having on you.
One size does not fit all.
Exactly. That cover it?
I think so. Yeah. Hopefully that answers Livia's questions.
Yeah. Are there any others from the Tribe of Mentors? Because there's 11 questions. So basically, the Tribe of Mentors book. So Gavin put me onto Tim Ferriss, what, about 3 years ago?
Something like that.
And I just started gorging on Tim Ferriss's podcast, but he's also an author. And he was an author before he was a podcaster. And his interviews are about, what is it, unpicking the success of the paths to success of very successful people, essentially. How they overcame failures or how they achieved what they've achieved. And Tribe of Mentors is, it says on the front actually, what does it say?
Short life advice. From the best in the world.
So he asks 11 questions, and those 11 questions he feels elicit very powerful responses that can be helpful to the person reading them. So yeah, there's 11 questions. Is there another one that you think I would add value to?
Well, I think any of them would, but here's one. How about, what? Well, it's $100, so what's that? So I'd say £75. What purchase of $100 if you're in the US, or £75 if you're in the UK?
Can we call it £100?
Okay, let's call it £100. What purchase of £100 or less has most positively impacted your life in the last 6 months or in recent memory? And he says, people like specifics, like the brand and the model, where you found it, etc.
Okay, this one's quite easy, I think. It would be the purchase of the Blue Yeti USB microphone that I bought in order to record podcasts. Because, as you know, Gavin, I did not have £100 to just throw around willy-nilly on something that I wasn't going to use. And in making that purchase, which I think was Amazon, I think it might have been £99.95 or £99. Like, basically, there were five colours, and I got the cheapest colour, which saved me like 49p or something. But, you know, there we go. But I didn't have that money to just throw around and just not use. So buying that, and I think I had had it in my wish list for ages, and I sort of like danced around it for a while. It was saying, right, bitch, you're going to step up now, you're going to do this. And then from that one purchase, I then made appointments with people. So Abby Cleave was one of my first interviews, James Reed, he said James Brown then, that would be a show. James Reed, Eugene Suleiman, all of those people, from that one purchase, I then put out the feelers to make those shows happen, and then happen, and then they did. So that for me, and it was a Blue Yeti mic. I think I got it in the grey because it was the cheapest model, and it was just under £100, I believe. And it's still, I've upgraded my kit since, but I used it for well over a year, and it's a bit battered from where I used to pull it around in a suitcase with me and like hoik it up train stations and goodness knows what else. And it's a bit battered, but it's in the office on a shelf, I'm sure. And it's like, it's a bit of a, it's a totem.
I'm going to have to push you on this one.
Go on.
But what would you say, because a lot of people listening, I imagine, don't have their own podcast. And so whilst that's made a big difference to you, what do you think is something that might help someone else? The kind of, you know, I know people are listening to the show, or the kind, you know, the kind of things they're interested in because they talk to you on the Facebook group and email and what have you. So
is there anything? One purchase?
Yeah, is there anything you could think of in that? I know you bought a food processor recently, and you were talking about the AeroPress coffee thing.
I didn't tell you about the big mistake about with the food processor. Well,
put the lid on?
No. I tried to make gazpacho, but I made gazpacho based on what I thought would be in it. So I essentially made,
like my beef stroganoff.
Yes. So I basically made liquid garlic, onion and tomato, and I gave myself really bad stomachache. But beside the point, the thought, and then I did make it properly and it was delicious. Anyway, I'll make you a gazpacho this weekend.
I think I'll pass on that now. But so what would you say? And just like, I don't know, thing you take to the gym or?
Something, oh God, that's a really good question. Something that someone can invest in. It depends what if it was to start a podcast, then I'd say some kit. But I know what you're trying to say, but I can't think of a universal purchase that I think would be, that I think would make a difference. There has to be, like with the microphone, there was a lot of desire there to start a podcast. Like I've been wanging on to you for ages about how I think I want to do a podcast. I quite like to do a podcast. Maybe I should do a podcast, which is when you initially did the artwork. The first round of artwork, not the eventual artwork.
So
I guess that was a financial output that ended up being a statement of intent.
Okay. So maybe that's the message here.
Yes.
For people who have something they want to achieve, maybe that.
Yeah.
Maybe that purchases, make your purchase statement of intent.
Yes.
An artist's easel or a pair of running shoes or a gym membership or whatever the hell it happens
but to be. But they can always just sit, you know, end up, you know, I've got a mini trampoline behind my living room door.
Okay, it's not the statement of intent, forget that.
No, but it's a really good question because I think it would just be different for everybody.
Yeah.
I just can't think of a universal purchase.
Mm.
But maybe I will during the course of the show. So let's move
on. Okay, yeah.
Is there another one in there or are we moving on?
Let's move on and see what other questions we've got.
Okay.
So who do we have next?
Helen.
So Helen says, can I ask a Gretchen Rubin style question? I'm obsessed with her. She's my guru. Do you do anything, and what is it, every day to make yourself happier? Do you have a happiness hack that you think everyone should do to make themselves happier?
I like this question very much.
Mm-hmm.
And I like Gretchen Rubin. And Helen, she was on this show. She was absolutely delightful. So whatever, it's always nice when you consume somebody's output in terms of their, like, Gretchen's podcast or her books. It's always nice when you then meet someone and they are absolutely brilliant and live up to all of the expectations that you've set against them. So she was delightful. So that's one thing. Do I do anything, and what is it every day to make myself happier? So I am now able to go to the gym every day, which I found really difficult. Even in, well, this year it's been better.
Yeah.
Sorry, viewers, listeners. We're in the middle of a heat wave and it's just started raining, so Gavin and I are delighted.
It's the first rain we've seen in about 7 weeks here, isn't it?
Six, 7 weeks. Yeah.
Anyway,
sorry. Yes, so I go to the gym and there are days when physically I don't feel like it. I really don't feel like it. But the reason I go on those days is for my brain, because I do feel like I can stagnate. And I think you remember when, November 2016, and I was really feeling terrible and I started walking and I would walk from my flat for like 3 kilometers and it would take me about 45 minutes
because
I could just, and I would come back and I'd be covered in sweat. It was such a physical effort. So now when I run, even though I'm not running as fast as I used to or as far as I used to, I'm like, yeah, but you're not walking.
Yeah.
You ain't walking.
It's progress. Yeah.
Something that gets my heart rate up. I love sweating. I did a post on Instagram about it. Like if I sweat, if I'm dripping sweat, like if I'm on the bike and I work up a sweat and it's like dripping onto the handlebars, I'm like, yes, go girl. That makes me feel really good. And it obviously there's a chemical reaction there, isn't it? In which you're much better at remembering. Serotonin. Cool. When you exercise, it releases serotonin.
And, you mean endorphins, the runner's
high. That's it. Mm. Yeah. So this is why you should always have you around, because you remember the difficult words. So that's really good. I always like to have something in the diary to look forward to, but without being extravagant. That could be a brother sister day where we're going to go and see the new Mission Impossible movie,
which was amazing.
It was pretty, and we're still reeling actually.
Mm.
What did you say when we came out about what
I think I'm having also seen in Infinity War this year, and being a massive comic nerd, I have to say after seeing Mission Impossible, I think Ethan Hunt would have found the Infinity Gauntlet in about 15 minutes.
Exactly. Yeah,
that would have been the pre-credit sequence. Yeah.
Yes, but in an alternate reality, here's Benedict Cumberbatch and Tony Stark.
Yes.
Anyway, I like to go to the cinema. What?
And of course, Tom Cruise was initially
Doctor Strange.
No, considered to be Iron Man. He was before Robert Downey Jr.
Was he really?
There you go. Yeah.
Do you reckon he ever thinks, I wish I'd done that?
No idea. I'd imagine he looks in the Mission Impossible movies and he's pretty happy.
And they are pretty phenomenal. don't know. He's, anyway,
yes.
Let's not get into the mind of Tom Cruise on this show. Movies make me really happy. So listeners know I work from home quite a bit. So if I'm working from home and I've been at my computer for 9 hours and I'm probably not going to see a human that day, I will take myself to the cinema. And I love going to the cinema by myself. And I remember when I first went freelance, somebody said to me, enjoy the free in freelance. And that means going to the cinema in the day when there's no one else there. And it is because I love movies so much. It really is a treat I afford myself. It's like, right, how are you feeling today? Have you got lots of work on? Is your head all over the place? Are you a bit knackered? Right, you're going to go and see a matinee. And then I come back and I do loads of work because it just kind of takes me out of my own head for 2 hours. That's good. What else do I like doing? Sometimes I like watching Real Housewives, and I know that you're not happy about that.
Not really into that sort of thing, no.
But distraction TV sometimes, like a reality show, can be quite good for happiness. Or a good phone call with one of your mates.
Definitely, yeah.
Oh, unless you can see them, obviously, which is preferable, but sometimes I'll ring Jules von Hepp up and have a ridiculous conversation with him, and the world just feels a little bit better when I put the phone down. So, yeah, those are my happiness hacks, and I do like reading, but if you listen to 26 Habits, you'll know that it is a muscle that has become very contracted, and it's one I'm trying to stretch. So I am getting a lot better at reading, and I know that sounds ridiculous as a 40-year-old woman saying it, but I have such a hive mind that I'll be reading, and I'm like, oh, I'm not actually taking any of this in. So I actually...
It's a hive mind.
It doesn't Tim Ferriss say that? Like, hive mind is when it's like a hive of activity, so that you can't concentrate on one thing.
Think of that as a collective. Like, the hive mind is everyone thinks the same thing.
Oh, whereas I mean monkey brain. That's
possibly
what I mean.
That, yes.
It?
I mean, I think that's... Like, I commute every day, so you see... Definitely noticed over the past 10 years, you see a lot of people sitting there reading a novel on the train, and now you don't. You see people just looking at their phones, and I don't know. But I think, is it Candy Crush? Is that a thing? But people are, you see these...
Oh, yeah. There's lots of games like it now, but yeah, I think Candy Crush...
Middle-aged professionals in suits, and they're playing Candy Crush or something. They're like moving fruit around on their phones.
With their sounds on.
Well, no, they're not that bad, hopefully. But yeah, there's a lot of that. People just going through... Anti-social media, that sort of stuff.
Whereas you read lots. You've got a much. You and I have very different brains, because you can read, and I've always said I'm a visual learner. Whereas you can read a book and go, "Yep, I can do it." Whereas I could read a recipe for Christmas lunch, and I'd screw it up. But if you show me how to do it once, I've got it forever. No.
Well, yes. I was saying that I think that's the. The reading thing is interesting because I think it has become something people generally do less. Even with Kindles, I don't see that many people reading Kindles. I see people more just looking at their phones.
That's why, I mean, you've seen my bookshelves. They are very full. Well, they're not very full, but there's a lot more books than there used to be. Because now I'm like, right, again, it's setting an intention. I listened to Russell Brand on Joe Rogan the other day and I was so susceptible. I was like, right, I'm buying his book. And now it's... out on the side. What are you laughing at?
I was about to say, this episode of the Emma Gunn Show is sponsored by the Joe Rogan Experience. Yeah. Let's see how many more Joe Rogan references we can get. Sorry, I interrupted.
No, it's fine. You can interrupt. Joe Rogan is fine. I did email him, brackets, his website, saying, if Joe's ever in London and he wants to come on the show, that would be great. But I think I would just spend the entire time just literally giggling. I hope that answers the question, happiness hack. Do you have a happiness hack?
I think much the same thing. I think conversation with someone you really click with is always good. Mm-hmm. So someone, you know, I have a couple of like close friends and, you know, just like a half an hour, 40 minute phone call with them sometimes. So you always get to see people face to face is really good for lifting the mood. That's sort of thing. Yeah.
Okay. All good.
So, the Amy. Next question. Yes, next question is from Amy, who asks, can you explain how you use your passion planner, thinking of getting one for 2019? Thanks.
Right, so, thanks for that question, Amy. This is a diary, but I used to use, because I was very spoiled as a beauty editor, I used to get gifts, as you well know. And one of the gifts that I used to get and then became very strongly attached to was something called a Smytheson Soho diary. There's a Smytheson Soho and there's a Smytheson Mayfair. And the difference is that the layouts are slightly different. And the Smytheson are leather-bound diaries, and the paper is like this featherweight blue, and they are just delightful to use. But they are 200 and something pounds?
Something like that. I know, yeah. I used to have a colleague who, I think, like those things, had a folio.
Yeah. I mean, I've still got them on my in my cupboard somewhere here. Like, I keep them all because they're just so lovely. But a friend of mine a few years ago said to me, oh, you should try the Passion Planner. And where the Smytheson is a very beautiful but very functional diary where you can write everything that you need to do in the week, the Passion Planner has these additional segments where you can put, like, what your focus for the week is. So if I had this recently, I was feeling a bit jittery and juddery and I wasn't feeling particularly happy. And my focus for the week was just like, calm down, just keep it level. Don't get drawn into anything. Keep it really simple. And then you also have a thing called Space of Infinite Possibility. So that might be when I'm out and I'm on the train and I think, right, Tom Cruise. I'm putting Tom Cruise's name on my list of people that... Oh, you haven't seen that before, actually.
Yeah, the list of...
My whiteboard. This is the first time you've been in my office in a while. I have my dream... My list of dream guests.
Hmm.
There you go. Haven't shown that to you yet. There's a picture I drew on it as well. It's not a bad whale, is it?
It's a whale. I can recognise it as a whale. Yeah.
Okay. Anyway. And yes, the days are broken up into half an hour sections from 6 a.m. So I find it quite useful retrospectively to put my gym workout in, and I do it in orange biro. I put my fun life stuff in pink. I put the podcast stuff in purple. I put work stuff in light blue, and I just like to make it colourful.
Hmm.
And yeah, I just, at the end of the week, I don't do it every week because as you might have already got the gist from this podcast, I'm not always that consistent. But I can, at the end of the week, you can go through and you can kind of, you've got a place to reflect what was good about this week, what were the three best things that happened, and then you can set your intentions for next week. So like, are you asking me if I want more coffee?
Yeah.
No, you can have it.
I try and do it with hand signals and so.
No, it's fine.
To avoid breaking the flow, which I've now done.
No, so. It's fine. Gavin's about to pour coffee, so if you hear water, well. Anyway, I really highly recommend it if you feel like writing things down makes you then do something. If you just think it, and then you'll think 2 weeks later, oh yeah, I was going to organise my sock drawer. But if you write it down, you will end up doing it before the end of the day. Do you understand what I'm saying by that?
I do, because there was something I heard the other day, and I can't remember where it was, probably on another podcast. I don't think it was. It probably was. But it was something to do with if you... I think they were talking about students who attended lectures and how much they took in, and people who recorded notes.
Mm-hmm.
And people who wrote notes, and the people who wrote notes took in a lot more. So just the act of actually having to have that.
Now, it's interesting you say this. So when I did the 26 Habits on Journaling, I learned something about my note-taking from school and university that actually blew my mind and maybe explained why I wasn't that clever. And that was because I used to really like to write what the teacher, professor, whoever it was saying verbatim.
Hmm.
But actually, I didn't realise that when you write your notes, it sounds so obvious when I'm reading it. I'm like, God, Emmy, you really are an idiot. It should be your interpretation. You're like breaking it down of like, right, I understand what they said in that paragraph. It means this. Whereas I used to try and transcribe. And that, I think, is why I didn't take things in.
Hmm.
Do you now think I'm a...
No, it makes perfect sense, because I remember sitting through econometrics and there was some lecture on Coit transformations and I was just scribbling... doodling or something, because I thought, I have no idea what this guy's talking about now. So, yeah,
no, but
my note-taking didn't work either, yeah.
No, but your note-taking used to be an interpretation of that paragraph that person just said, as opposed to writing it verbatim, trying to write it word for word.
Yeah, well, you're trying to summarise. I couldn't write that.
That's the word I was looking for, summarise. So I never did that.
Mm.
But Gavin is also an excellent artist, or drawer, but that's terrible drawer. English. Drawer.
Yeah. I wouldn't say excellent.
You can draw.
I dabble. There you go.
You can draw. Gavin designed the logo, let's not forget.
Hmm.
So I wouldn't be surprised if the majority of your notes were just filled with like Wolverine and...
Yes, we're drawing various comic book
and ninjas, the side. Ninjas, yeah. Lots of ninjas.
Yeah.
Right, so I hope that helps with the Passion Planner. If you're interested in seeing what it looks like, actually, It's a girl called, I think it's Angelina Trinidad, who started the Passion Planner. Yes, it is. Oh, Angelia, sorry, because it's copyrighted on every page. She started the Passion Planner, but actually what's really cool about them is you can go to their website, which I, the link to which I'll put in the show notes, and you can actually download the format. So they kind of give you a week that you can download and print off and use to see if you then want to use the Passion Planner, which I think is a really good idea. So I shall put that link in the show notes, remind me. Mm. Okay. Next question, please, Gavin.
Okay, the next question is from Lucy, and she asks, I'd love to ask what people's gym routines are, please. I'm just back to the gym post-baby and have no idea what to do anymore. Particularly interested in short but effective sessions before work. Thank you.
Ah, now this is what you would call entrapment, because you are an excellent person to answer this sort of question, which I could not, because I've always been somebody who... I'm not very good at exercise. I do it, but you're far more aware of what you're doing and why you're doing it. You were the person who got me into HIIT.
Mm.
No, Tabata training. Am I saying it wrong?
No, that's it.
Tabata training. So Gavin reads and understands the process of this. So could you explain, because I think actually Lucy might find Tabata training quite useful, because you used to give me those routines that would be like one set kettlebell swings and push-ups, one set this, that and the other. So would you explain?
And you... Obviously, Lucy, we don't know where you're starting from, whether you were a, you know, competitive sports,
mm-hmm.
you know, beforehand, or it's just back to the gym. So you were going to the gym beforehand.
Yes, it's a good point to say. If you are starting any kind of sport or fitness regimen, it's always a good idea to just check with your healthcare professional, GP, whatever it might be. So don't just take our advice on it.
Yeah, certainly not a medical profession over here. But a short but effective session is, as Emma mentioned, HIIT, which is high intensity interval training. So that's where this can be something which is maybe 20 minutes long, and there'll be a 5 minute warm up where you might do some jumping jacks or jog on the treadmill for 5 minutes just to get your heart rate up and loosen up. And then for 10 minutes, you might do 30 on, 30 off. So that you need a timer of some description. You might do 30 seconds.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Seconds of sprinting on the treadmill and 30 seconds of jogging on the treadmill. For some people can jump off the treadmill to do that kind of thing, and you know, are good at have the balance. But if you're a bit worried about falling over and face planting, then do it on the cycle.
Yep.
You can do 30 seconds of sprinting hard, and then 30 seconds of
active recovery.
Where you just cycle at normal pace. And so you do that for 10 minutes, and then you'd kind of warm down for another 5 minutes at the end. But you know, there's, I'm trying to think of the guy's name now. There's a guy who wrote a book, Dr. Martin Jabala. He wrote a book called The 1 Minute Workout, where he goes into all of these.
We'll put the links in the show notes, listeners.
Yeah, he goes into all the different ways you can do high intensity interval training. He covers the Tabata. And I actually think, having looked at what the actual Tabata protocol involved, very few of us who think we're doing a Tabata properly are actually doing a Tabata. We're basically doing 20 seconds of intensity and 10 seconds off, because I think they were going at something like 170% of their
heart rate.
No, it was some crazy amount. I mean, this was sort of Olympic sprint speeds, and most of us just can't manage that for 20 seconds at a time, let alone for 8 cycles. But the 20 on, 10 off is...
So that means 8 minutes.
Yeah, it is.
So you could get, and the science of doing the high intensity for a bit and then low intensity and then shaking that up is to elicit the same response as a high calorie burn.
Yeah, it's there's something called EPOC, and I can't remember what it stands for, EPOC, but they call it the afterburn effect. Because if you do steady state cardio, like jogging on a treadmill, you're basically burning calories for that amount of time.
During
you're on
the
treadmill,
yeah.
Yes. But if you do this high intensity training, then you're actually burning calories for up to, I think, some 8 to 14 hours afterwards, after you've finished exercising. So that's why It's quite popular at the moment because, one, people just don't have, no one seems to have not much time to do anything. So fitting an effective workout into a short period of time is popular. And I think it also, it sort of plays into people's, you always feel like you've done some work because you're basically going to be a sweaty, out of breath mess at the end of it. So I think, yeah, short but effective, I'd recommend that Lucy looks up HIIT, high intensity interval training, and then tailor that to your ability level.
And the other thing with HIIT is that you don't necessarily need kit. You could do it in your garden.
You could do it in your living room. You could just say, okay, my HIIT is going to be squat thrusts. So you can just do it on the floor, or push-ups or something, or squats, whatever. You don't need...
I think fitness is a topic, health and fitness is a topic that I think gets massively overcomplicated. So I had a DNA test, must have been last year now, and the results came back, and it was, remember I went through that phase of, like, I'm going to lift heavy weights. I'm going to turn myself into a fat-burning machine. And then I just went into adrenal fatigue.
Yeah, well, it's the... One size does not fit all. So whatever I just said might be hopeless for Lucy. I mean, but
exactly, it is about having your options. So when I had my DNA test, it came back saying that my muscles weren't that. I'm paraphrasing here, but it was like my muscles aren't hugely responsive. In fact, I'll try and find
You weren't. You weren't responsive to weight exercise, but you did better with cardio exercise, something like that.
Specifically endurance.
Yeah, there you go. So longer runs.
So now I try and cut out the noise of everything else, and I just do, I do my hour in the gym, and I make sure that during that time I work really hard and I sweat like a mofo, and that makes me feel really, really good. And the thing is that I, as you know, I speak to amazing personal trainers, people who train Hollywood A-listers, and every single one will tell you something different. But I do think at some point you've got to say, right, what do I feel really good doing? I'm not trying to, I don't need to be in the best shape of my life to be on HD camera.
Yeah.
I need to go to the gym to feel really good and get a good calorie burn and feel like I'm improving my health. So for me, Lucy, finding something that you really enjoy doing is crucial too, and not putting too much pressure on yourself.
One other thing that I think I'd just like to, if I may, add a follow-up on high intensity interval training.
You may.
Is I think a lot of, I did it as well. We all make the mistake when we're younger, and perhaps when we're in our 20s we can get away with it. But you cannot out-train a bad diet. So, not that I'm suggesting Lucy has a bad diet, but just in general, when people start high-intensity interval training, you're used to think, okay, we've been to the gym, now we're going to have pizza.
Yeah.
And you basically, you consume four times the amount of calories you just burnt. So you actually, you should have might as well have just not gone to the gym and not had the pizza, and you still would have come out ahead. But so I think to give an idea, I saw someone was asked the other day what the best fat, it was a guy on YouTube, but someone was saying, what's the best fat burning exercise?
And it's on Joe Rogan.
It wasn't this guy. It wasn't Joe Rogan. but it was, he was saying, he was demonstrating things like battle ropes and kettlebell swings and burpees. And I think he said, if you do these, then you will burn 15 calories a minute. If you're really going hard all the way through to 10 minutes of that, you burn 150 calories. And he said to this guy at the end, great, so this is what you can have without without undoing the work you've just done. And it was something like 8 gummy bears. So the idea that you're going to go and do one of these workouts and write excellent, right, pizza time, is it's got to be, 75% of it's done in the kitchen,
right? So because we're in my office, I've just been able to reach over and get my report. So without navel gazing, just to tell you, so this was the DNA test that I had with Dr. Seher Rocket, who's been on the show twice, out of the Omnia Clinic in Knightsbridge, and this was last August. And basically it gives you, like, on a sliding scale, and there's power potential, which is how your body performs with strength and power. So on, based on that, I have a low. Gavin, can you confirm?
Yeah.
My power potential is low. Based on the genes analysed, you have an average potential for power, strength, performance. Whereas my endurance, according to the gene results, you have an above average potential for endurance performance. So that's why I just kind of took... I got out from underneath the squat rack.
Yeah. And started going on the treadmill or the bike.
Even though I felt like a badass. And there is something as well, like... is it Ari Shaffir? Is that the name of the comedian?
Yeah.
He was on this guy's podcast. And he was talking about the fact that when he was depressed, and this podcaster used to say to him, hey, Harry, just go to the gym. And he would say, I used to really want to like smash your face in. He didn't say that, but he would just say, it used to make me really mad because I didn't even have the energy to walk to the bathroom, let alone go to the gym. And again, like I said earlier in this podcast, like every time I'm able to run, I'm like, that is as much a mental achievement as it is a physical one. So I hope that that's given you a robust answer.
I hope so. And I just say as well, don't forget to factor in rest days as well. If you do decide just to do high intensity interval training, that's not something you want to do 5 days a week, two or three times a week, and rest, stretch, soft tissue care, that sort of thing.
And build it up
and
really...
Sorry, everything I'm saying is bro science because I'm not qualified in any of this, but this is just my experience and what I'm...
And also there are apps, like if you wanted to do HIIT training that, you know, and or Tabatas and measure the time and everything. I used to use a really good app that literally you'd start it and it would just beep. So you knew when to stop exercising, when to start back up, when to rest, all of that kind of stuff. And I can put some links in the show notes.
Yeah, there's lots of free interval times just online. Mm-hmm. Just Google it and one can come up and you can set it up on your laptop if you're doing... exercise at home.
Also, don't look at Fitspo people on Instagram, or if you do, choose them wisely, because I think that can be really demoralizing, because people look freaking awesome on Instagram and you can look at it and just think I'm a failure or I don't look as good, and don't do it. Find people who you find inspirational, who are doing fitness, not who you find that you want to look like, because a lot of the time they're filtered or maybe they're just holding it in. Who knows? Right. Next question, I know, Gavin.
This is from Kate, and she says, any tips for surviving the day when you're working at a job you really don't like? Getting a new job isn't an option for the time being. Just tips to help me suck it up, as it's really affecting my mental health.
Sorry to hear this, Kate. This is a real bummer. I'm sorry that you're going through this. I'm sure that many of the listeners, and certainly I, can relate to being... in this situation. And again, a little bit like Kate from the last, not Kate, sorry, who was the last? Lucy from the last question. We don't know the full situation or all the circumstances, so it's difficult to give you precise help. But if you don't like the work that you're doing, use this job as a way to figure out the work that you do want to be doing, or at least set the intention that you don't ever want to do this work again. I say this as somebody who is only recently learning this skill of kind of turning things on their head to see the positive. But yeah, if you don't like your job and you can't leave, you have to figure out what your next job that you would enjoy doing would look like, I think. Yeah?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I'm not sure, again, just from the question, whether it's you don't like the place you're working or the career you're in.
Yeah.
But I think... Take a leaf out of the Stoics notebook and maybe decide that, okay, there is the problem. You try and turn a problem, turn the negatives into the positive. So you say you don't like what you're doing now, but changing it isn't an option. So you think, so because I have to stay here for the time being, this gives me time to figure out what it is I would like to do, whether that's go back into education or do a career change or just get a job doing the same thing but somewhere else, you know, and looking into ways people have done that. I mean, this is one of the things where the internet is an absolute goldmine. Because if you want to do something, chances are someone's done it and written a blog about it.
Exactly. That was a really good point, actually. If it's the work that you don't like, that's one thing. If it's the commute, then try and make the commute work for you. Listen to podcasts on the way that inspire you and maybe... motivate you. Don't be distracted by music or anything. I love listening to music, don't get me wrong, but like it is a distraction. And also if you can, I have a friend who's going through something similar at the moment. They really can't stand their job, but they've got a mortgage to pay and they're not in a position to be able to leave. And we were talking about, well, what if she just gave herself a deadline of, right, by the 1st of September, you've at least got your plan B, or you've at least got a strategy of how to get out. And then from there, you can maybe even set a date for when you want to leave. But obviously, everyone's circumstances are different. And, you know, jobs are scarce. You can't just walk away from something that puts a roof over your head and puts food in your mouth. So obviously, be really sensible about it. The only thing I would say is if it's the culture, if it's the people, my advice from someone who's been in this situation before... is that something that you can't change? And I would, if it is the culture and it is the people, I would prioritize finding a way to leave. Because if you cannot change it, and you just have to find a place where you do like the culture, that would be my advice. But it depends which one of the things it is that you're finding difficult.
Yes,
if it's all three.
Yeah. Definitely. I know Kate says getting a new job isn't an option for the time being. And obviously I'm just sort of projecting here, but I think I can relate, and many people can relate to having been in a suboptimal situation
mm-hmm.
and thinking, I just can't get out of this. This is no real way of getting out of it. I just have to suck it up at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
But then, the dam breaks and you do change it. And you usually think, that wasn't as difficult as I thought it would be. Mm-hmm. Why didn't I do that earlier? So I don't know whether that's any help, but...
Well, I would also say have faith in yourself. And I'm self-employed. The buck stops with me. I occasionally get Gavin to buy my Nando's. But ultimately, I'm the one who pays my bills, who makes things happen. And I was in a situation recently where I had a good thing going on paper. It looked like all the component parts should have added up to a really brilliant experience. Mm. And it just wasn't. And at a similar time, I was giving somebody some advice. They hated the role that they were in. And they said, I haven't got anything to go to, but I think the best thing for me to do is just to leave. And I said, well, you have to trust yourself. You're really good at what you do. You have to trust yourself that if you do leave, you will make another opportunity. You will find more work. And then I realized I had to take my own advice. And so literally just jumped from this situation.
Mm.
And it was really scary. But actually, it was really empowering to go, but I'm going to make it all right. I'm going to make it fine. And I have.
Mm.
And so that probably sounds a little bit idealistic. And
it does, because you're sitting here at one remove without knowing exactly what Kate's situation is.
Exactly.
So you think, oh, this is way off the beam. Like, this is none of these are options. So apologies if these things haven't really given you any guidelines, but just some thoughts. I hope it helps.
I do the apologies around here.
Okay. Yeah.
No.
On behalf of the Emma Lange, I'd like to...
Brought to you by Gavin Grindelwald, the productions. So, yes, it's not... None of these might be necessarily applicable, but hopefully nuggets of some of them have...
Mm.
But I would say, even if it's not applicable to you right now, please do have faith in yourself that if you want... Whatever you want to create, you can create. Please have that, because you do.
And maybe go back to the happiness hacks as well.
Yes.
If you feel it's, you can.
Yes.
There you go.
Okay.
So we have Anna's question next.
Yeah. I'm a bit nervous about this one because I don't really know, but go on.
Anna says, what helped you to gain more self-confidence?
What helped you to gain more self-confidence? Okay. Actually, a lot of the 26 habits have added up to that. Like meditation, being a bit more sort of, and even just basic, this is going to sound really wanky, so you are totally at liberty to smack me around the face and get me back on track. But just asking the questions, like, what do you want to do? Learning how to say no is a huge one. I never used to be able to say no. I thought that if I said no to people, they wouldn't like me anymore. And then it would go even further in that before they would even ask the question, I'd offer.
Mm.
So, I guess self-reflection and just spending a little bit more time in your own head in a non-overthinky way and just saying, right, what do I stand for? What do I love doing? What do I like doing? And then I remember my friend Marcia, who has been on this show, I remember when I was feeling very depressed, I remember we had a long conversation one day and she said, what are you up to? We were about to sign off and she said, what are you up to? And I said, I'm going to go to the shops. I'm going to go and buy some gladioli. They're £1.50. But oh my God, when I get them in the house, they're just green. And then after 3 days, like, they've blossomed and they look freaking amazing. And she said, run towards the gladioli, Ems, run towards them. And things like that, gladioli being a totem. Run towards the stuff that makes you happy and understand the stuff that makes you happy.
Mm.
And it's okay to say no or not to do things. And I've definitely, you've noticed a change, I think. And
absolutely.
I'm not doing that anymore. That doesn't make me happy. So, but it's not necessarily, it's a bit of an uncomfortable process.
Well, I think anything where did I hear this phrase? That, well, to talk about self-confidence, I mean, confidence, any kind of confidence is basically situational competence. Well, people are comfortable, like, people are comfortable in some situations. I'll give you an example. Okay, I like watching sometimes the Conan O'Brien interview clips on YouTube, you know, yes. the snatches of his show. Mm-hmm. And I saw one where he interviewed Chris Kyle. Now, I don't know whether Emma Gunn Show listeners are familiar with him, but Chris Kyle is a former Navy SEAL, mm-hmm. wrote a book called American Sniper, and they made it into a film with Bradley Cooper.
Yes.
Now, this is a
guy... Directed by Clint Eastwood.
That's it. This is a guy who's a freaking Navy SEAL, you know, was had some crazy reward on his head mm-hmm. from the, you know, Iraqi insurgents or whatever, and, you know, as a... You know, America's hero being the Navy SEAL and all that kind of business. But you could see that sitting there in a TV studio being interviewed by Conan O'Brien, he was quite uncomfortable because right. That's not a situation he's used to.
Mm.
And you could see Conan kind of talking to him and trying to, you know, make him feel more relaxed. Yeah. Whereas you get film stars who turn up regularly and they're fine in that situation. Mm. But I'm guessing you probably don't want Bradley Cooper actually in a war zone directing anything, do you? So... You know, because he wouldn't be that good in that situation, would he? So that's to touch on the confidence part. So I think it's sometimes about putting yourself in. You mentioned discomfort. I'm really taking the long way around here.
It's fine.
But
we do that often on this podcast.
Well, there you go. Then you can. I've found that doing something that scares you, and then realizing that it was the fear of the thing more than the thing itself that was the real issue. Because often we all have things we're scared of doing.
Yeah.
And then sometimes you face up to them, you've got no choice but to do it. And you think, that wasn't as bad as I thought. And even if you didn't actually get the result you wanted, the fact you attempted it, whereas normally you would have just not even, whether it's public speaking or something like that or anything, whatever it happens to be, that can usually improve your confidence.
Did you listen to Jamie Foxx on Tim Ferriss?
I didn't hear that one.
Oh, Jamie Foxx was talking about...
Listening to Joe Rogan at the time.
Jamie Foxx said on the Tim Ferriss podcast, and I might be getting the exact wording wrong, but he said, it's like, what's on the other side of fear? Tell me what's on the other side of fear. And it's anyway, so I remember that. I can't remember what came next, but anyway, the point being is fear is a big limiter. But sometimes there are things there's a bit of a thing here of like going outside of your comfort zone, but also instinctively knowing something that you don't want to do.
Yeah.
And knowing they look the same.
Yeah, okay, yeah, no, I see what you're saying, yeah. There's, yeah. But I think...
Sometimes you're too scared to do something, but actually it'd be really good for you.
I think if it's one of the things where you have an opportunity to do something and you decide not to do it because you think, oh, I don't want to look silly, mm-hmm. I don't want to put myself out, something like that. But then you regret afterwards you didn't take the opportunity. That's something where there was perhaps an opportunity for, you know, to sort of build on your self-confidence. Mm-hmm. I think... yeah, it's just knowing that you know, we're all generally stronger than we think, but yeah. we don't have to push ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
We don't often get the chance to.
Yeah.
So look for those opportunities.
Right. Let's move on to question number, I've lost count. Siobhan. Right.
So Siobhan's question is, ultimate dinner party guests, dead or alive, go. I said that because there was an exclamation mark at the end.
But... Joe Rogan.
Very good. You've been storing that one up, haven't you? Yeah. So, sorry, she's also said absolutely nothing to do with the topics listed. I'm just nosy. So, nothing wrong with that.
I remember Mrs. Riddell, my English teacher.
Yeah.
Mrs. Riddell once said that she would have Wallace Simpson at a dinner party of people, you know, ultimate dinner party, because she'd like to meet the woman who was so alluring that she made somebody abdicate a throne.
I
always thought that was really, that's like better than any reason I can think of for like, I'd like to see Elvis swear. I'd like to see like Marilyn Monroe. I'd like to have a conversation with Marilyn Monroe and like hear her swear. I don't know why. But I think that's really predictable. Who else would I like? Other than Joe Rogan. Or would it just be a candlelit dinner for two?
No, Jamie'd have to be there as well.
Hey, pull that shit up.
Yeah. And you'd be eating elk.
That Joe
with Alpha Brain, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry, Joe Rogan in jokes.
Yeah, we need to get on the Joe Rogan wagon. Who would you have?
I don't know, but I was just looking at the next question and thinking...
What's that? Okay, we'll come to the next question. You understand? You will understand.
So you've got to think of your. So who's your dinner party? You're going to have.
Well, I'll just look around at my whiteboard of inspiration. So
it's a Game of Thrones style banquet here, isn't there? So you need a few tables to fit everyone on.
Busy Phillips, you know, the actress Busy Phillips, do you know who she is?
No.
Okay, well,
what's she been in?
Well, Dawson's Creek, which obviously you didn't watch, and Freaks and Geeks, which I don't think you watched either, and various rom-coms, so you have no idea who Busy Phillips is. But she's very, very cool.
I know 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6... And then top of there.
Okay, well, it goes without saying RuPaul and Michelle Visage would be around my dinner table because I think they're pretty awesome. And Oprah.
Mm.
I would like to see Oprah in the context of a group situation. In the sense that you see Oprah always as Oprah.
Mm.
Just a single entity Oprah who's the queen of all she purveys. But I'd like to see how she operates in a dynamic of people.
Mm.
Especially fellow type A alphas. So Tom Cruise is on there too, but he'd have to take his shoes off if he's jumping on my sofa. Who else would I like? There's literally so many.
Mm.
Maybe Alice Walker, who wrote The Colour Purple.
Yeah.
That could be quite... I mean, there are so many. I would be interested just to see Marilyn and Elvis, just to see how they like sit, what their attitude is. They are surrounded in mystery despite being, and mystery is something that isn't afforded to celebrities now.
Yeah.
So I basically am saying I don't want them to be mysterious anymore. It's a tricky one, that one. Can you think of anyone that you'd like to? Gavin's not really into dinner.
Yeah, dinner parties.
It's intermittent fasting.
Yeah, intermittent fasting. Who would be my ultimate intermittent fasting guest? There you go. I don't know. I think Siobhan should tell us who her favourite.
Yes.
Come on, Siobhan. Who are your favourite ultimate dinner party guests?
Yeah, I think basically I would like... No, okay, this is it. The ultimate dinner party for me would be a banquet with every single... With RuPaul, Michelle Visage, all the judges and every
Rollins.
Single... Oh, Henry. Well, Henry Rollins has been a judge.
Hmm.
I think he was a judge in Series 2. But it would be, all the queens who have ever been on Drag Race.
Hmm.
I think that could be a fun night. Okay, Linda's question. This is the one that made Gavin crack up.
Yes. Linda's question is, favourite ever podcast you listen to if you weren't... Sorry, if you...
Weren't doing what you do.
If you weren't doing what you do, what would you be doing?
Okay, so...
Other podcasts other than ones you may have mentioned, I think.
Okay, yeah. Right. Oprah Super Soul Sunday, or Super Soul podcast is really good. Wobble with Jules and Sarah, the Jules and Sarah podcast. RuPaul and Michelle Visage, What's the Tea? So last podcast on the left, I think that's really good. The Biggie and Tupac episodes, all three of them were pretty amazing.
I do say magustalations to people now. No one ever figures out where that's from.
Is that the salutation?
That's the thing they say at the end.
What is it?
Magustalations.
What does it mean?
Thank you for liking us.
Oh, I like it. James Altucher, I've only just come onto his show recently. Again, you put me onto that, but he's a really good interviewer and his show with Tyra Banks was really... impressive, which is why Tyra Banks is on that board. Distraction podcasts would be like Jules and Sarah, because I do listen to my podcast for inspiration. Lewis Howes, School of Greatness, he's had some really good episodes. I've really enjoyed some of his. I think that's like top line, but definitely. Oh, Gretchen Rubin, Happier with Gretchen Rubin is really good. What do you listen to?
I missed out on Serial. There's a few true crime ones I picked up on, and so I don't know if anyone listens to that kind of stuff, but Missing Maura Murray, I became quite interested in that one because that happened in New Hampshire, and it's close to where some friends of ours live, so I thought, hey, I know that area.
Is it really that close
it
to
It is,
them?
Yeah,
oh,
near Dartmouth.
Okay.
But another one, if you do listen to those things, if you are a fan of true crime podcasts, I have to recommend Done Disappear, which is a parody of the genre, and is, along with My Dad Wrote a Porno is one of those ones I can no longer listen to on the commute because you'll be laughing and it's embarrassing.
I remember discovering My Dad Wrote a Porno and telling you about it. And was this inappropriate to tell my brother about this? And then you texted me saying that you had to hold yourself up against a telephone pole on the way home because you were laughing so much.
Yeah, the episode in the medium-sized maze. That was just Oh dear.
Where he was painting symbols on her with mud or something.
That was it, yeah. Oh, that was hilarious.
If you haven't listened to it already, I mean, I know it's a huge, huge podcast. You probably already know what it's about, but it's definitely worth listening to.
Yeah. So I listened to that one, and well, I don't listen to that one so much now, but Those Conspiracy Guys, it's kind of like the Irish version of, if you know Last Podcast on the Left, it's like the Irish version, I guess.
Yes, yeah. You've talked about really liking them.
Yeah, what else? Waking Up with Sam Harris. I like that one.
Armie Hammer listens to that one as well.
Yeah.
He was interviewed recently talking about how much he liked Sam Harris.
Gimlet Media has a lot of good podcasts. Reply All is a good one about the internet age. And Crime Town, which I'm listening to at the moment, a lot about the way the Italian mob ran Providence, Rhode Island, and the interviews with some of those characters are fantastic. I mean, it is like going back to watching The Sopranos again.
Have you listened to Russell Brand much?
Yes, I really liked his interviews with Adam Curtis. I'm a big fan of his documentaries, and Jordan Peterson. So
Jordan Peterson's been on another podcast quite a bit, hasn't he?
He has, yeah.
But that podcaster, which is obviously Joe Rogan, has said that he's like, Jordan, you're the most misunderstood mother around. I don't understand why people misunderstand you. And that's when we're going on a journey now. We're getting in the car. So I'm going to ask you what that misunderstanding is. And you can explain to me a bit more about who Jordan Peterson is.
Okay.
In the car. We've come to the end.
Okay.
Those are all the questions, aren't they? Let me just double check.
That's the questions today, I think, yeah.
And obviously the next question, which is, it's not a question, it's just a post in the group, but you can see Yasmin. That's Yaz.
Okay, there we go. But actually, sorry, I noticed Livia, who I think posted earlier, she's got a question underneath Linda's.
It's just, I love knowing what other podcasts people are listening to, because the range of topics usually paints a super interesting picture.
I'm sure if I look at my phone, I've got loads of others on there, but...
We've both got them on airplane mode, because we're good, we're good podcasters.
I was going to see if there's anything I haven't mentioned that I could...
Good idea. Oh, Race Chaser, the new one. You wouldn't understand this. Race Chaser, which is the new podcast.
That sounds wrong.
With Alaska and Willem from RuPaul's Drag Race, which is going through every single episode of Drag Race since the dawn of time. Stuff Mum Never Told You. Somebody asked, told me to download that recently, and I haven't listened to it yet, but We the People.
Yeah, We the People. I actually was just looking at that with Josh Sipps. That's really good. It's a good current affairs discussion show. I like him a lot.
The other one I like is Disgraceland, which is, it's storytelling, but it's like one of the episodes is like Motley Crue, sex, drugs, and holy shit, how are these dudes still alive? And it's kind of, that's quite interesting. Whimsically Volatile with Katia from RuPaul's Drag Race. If I say Jonathan Van Ness to you, you don't know what I mean, do you?
Yes, it's written on there. But I don't know who it is.
No, he's from Queer Eye. There's a new
one. Oh, is that thing where...
On Netflix. Yeah.
To be rather uncharitable, is that where five gay blokes will look at a straight bloke and then say, what you need is some new shoes. Is that it?
No, but I see...
That's a summary. Isn't that what happens? It's a makeover thing.
No, it's a makeover
thing. There you go. Gavin, well, that's why I said
it
shoes.
Operates on a spiritual, emotional, physical and various other levels. Please, thank you. I will make you watch it now. Under the Skin... How Did This Get Made? That's quite interesting.
Mark Manson, I have that on there.
What else? Oh, Fat Man on Batman, I enjoy.
Yes, Kevin Smith.
And Mark Maron. What the fuck with Mark Maron? And Desert Island Discs. And obviously my originals, the Empire Film Podcast and Kermode and Mayo's Film Review. That was what I used to listen to loads. But you should really listen to this podcast.
Yes. The Emma Gunn Show, of course.
Brought to you by Gavin Gunn-Wardner Enterprises.
Productions Incorporated.
Yes. thank you for doing this with me, Gavin.
Oh, you're welcome. It's unusual.
It is, isn't it? It's fine. Right.
I'm not going to lose you too many subscribers with my meandering.
No, I'm sure you won't. Right, we're going to sign off. Thank you so much for listening. If you have a question that you would like asked in a future Ask Me Anything, then all you have to do is join the Facebook group if you aren't already a member. Post your question with the hashtag Ask Me Anything, and I will make a note of it and use it on the next episode. If you want to get in touch with me, it's so super easy. Just email me at thebeautypodcast@gmail.com, or you are very welcome to slide into my DMs on social media, where I am at Emma Guns on Twitter and Instagram. I know a lot of you have been sending messages. I do try to get back to everybody as soon as possible. And if you are listening to this podcast via a streaming service, be that Apple Podcasts, Acast, or any other service, then please do click subscribe so you never miss an episode. And if they give you the opportunity, how many stars should they leave?
That would be five.
That would be five. Five stars and maybe a little review about what you've enjoyed about this episode or any other episode would be gratefully received. Gavin, thank you very much for congratulations on your debut.
Oh, well, there you go. I'm officially a podcaster now. How about
yeah, you
that?
Are. We'll get you new business cards. Right. Thank you for tuning in, and I will see you on the next one.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. No matter what you do or what industry you're in, how you communicate is key. Everything you type is equally important to collaboration, and Grammarly can help. Think of it as your AI writing partner, empowering you to communicate effectively and efficiently so you can make a bigger impact in the workplace. 96% of Grammarly users say it helps them craft more impactful writing. And as the gold standard of responsible AI, Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. By understanding your writing in context, Grammarly provides relevant, personalized suggestions. And with tone suggestions, you can navigate even the most difficult work conversations. You can also save time from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds with one click. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's GRAMMARLY.com/podcast. Easier said, done.